Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, I'm honored that you're joining us this week. So my motivational quote today is by Dr. Ivan Meisner, and he says, networking is more about, in quotes, farming than hunting. It's about cultivating relationships. So, does your business or your business goals depend on you getting out there and doing this networking and hopefully doing it effectively? Okay, so how many of you just grunted when I said that word, networking? Why do we hate walking into that large room and then we search faces at the event, searching in hope that we know at least one person? Breathe. Why does the word networking make us sweat so much? It shouldn't, and if it does, I guarantee you're probably not doing it correctly. Now, are you interested in learning more about effective networking skills that create connections literally for a lifetime? Are you in? Well, of course, I have a guest today who we're going to talk about this. So my guest is Casey DiStefano, and Casey is a former television producer slash director, now turned performance coach, keynote speaker, and founder of Venerations Me, a company that helps women succeed with one-on-one coaching, workshops, and training. Now, Casey is passionate about investing in women's economic empowerment, knowing it sets a direct path toward gender equality. Now, because of her passion also for community outreach and the love of film, she's formed a video initiative to create compelling marketing films for local nonprofits to help them draw in more sponsors, donors, employees, and volunteers to take action. So with that, I hope, wonderful introduction of my beautiful friend here, please help me welcome Casey DiStefano to the show. So, Case, thanks so much for being on.
Oh, absolutely. My honor. Thank you for having me.
A real pleasure. So just background, Stacy and I met through another colleague. First time we met, we had breakfast. We both live locally. So we're Jersey girls, by the way, which we love. So it's just really nice to have some local people like-minded doing, you know, this whole education thing to help us all just get better at whatever it is we're seeking to do. So I'm grateful that you decided to come on the show.
No, absolutely.
Pleasure, real pleasure. So, first question, we talk about these meaningful relationships. How do you do it, and why are they so beneficial to you as well as to the person that we're building this relationship with?
Well, I mean, everyone loves to feel loved and honored and cherished, and so it's really important to work on building relationships so you can have this in your life.
And it helps with business, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, hey, in a perfect world, we'd work with all of our friends. You know, people that we enjoy, people that we want to spend time with, people we would go out to have a beer with. You know what I'm saying? So absolutely in work, because the more meaningful your relationships are at work, the more you enjoy your work.
It's true, and it's funny because I taught a class this week about business development, right, going out there, and one of the topics, of course, is networking, and then how do you build relationships with your existing clients and the people you know really, and that know you really well. They're usually happy to help you because they respect you, they find value in you, they find value in the relationship. So when we ask for help from people that already love us and care about us and respect us, people usually step up and say, sure, what do you need? But we're so afraid to, you know, we're well respected and all that, but we're afraid to ask for that help. And I know with your clients that hesitation is silly, and your own experience, people that you've met, right? How have they responded when you said, hey, can you help me out?
Well, that's a great question, because I have four cornerstones to building relationships that I teach and talk about, et cetera, et cetera. But in these cornerstones, one of the cornerstones is follow-up, law of reciprocity. So what I do is the person meeting someone or the person who's going to ask for help, I've already set up five different times that I've already helped that person so that when I ask for help, I don't feel bad. I don't feel like I'm putting them out.
Yeah. And it's funny. I'm publishing a book March, April, end of the last year was crazy with family stuff, right? You understand that. You have kids and family as well. And so I, when I have guests on the show like this, I love helping businesses thrive, right? And if we could get the word out, because I respect the people that come on my show, they're new authors, they're brilliant, whatever it is, that if we can drive business to them so they can help even more people, that to me is what my show is about, right? That enlightenment of change and that change, we're all in this together and how can we connect and all of that. And it's right. So funny, inevitably, Case, when I finish a show with someone, especially if I've done like a series with a guest, at the end they're like, oh my goodness, you're so helpful, you know, you're so kind, and the interviews are great, how can we help you? And I'm always touched, because I don't ask people to come on the show or interview them because it's I'm going to get something out of it. I'm creating great content, my listeners are, I feel, are getting good value. That to me is the point of the show. And now with I'm publishing the book, as I'm reaching out to people that have been guests, I'm saying, listen, can you help me out, you know, when the time comes, can you read the book, can you write an Amazon review, and they're, oh yes we'd love to. They're so happy to be able right. to help, because you're always coming from this helpful place, and it just feels good too to be able to rely on people that are like-minded and that we respect and that we have similar values with and all of those things. It becomes almost easy, but you have to be willing to say, can you help me out, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about, first, why do you think for some of your clients, it feels so difficult to even start that next relationship? Like, have you seen kind of a pattern with that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that's has a lot to do with the trash talk we put in our heads. Like, a lot of my clients, before they, you know, when they first start coming to me, they say, oh, I hate networking events, just like you were saying in the introduction, right? And so I try to change the mindset there of, okay, it's not a networking event, it's a relationship building event. Sure. You have an opportunity to learn and meet new people, right? So that's one of the things that I try to change the mindset. But I really feel that they get inside their heads and they start to think about themselves, right? And they think, what am I going to wear? What am I going to look like? I'm too tired. I don't have the energy to be on all that stuff. Whereas what I ask them to do is say, okay, all right, you can think about that for 2 minutes. But then let's think about the opportunity and take all the focus off of you and put it on everyone else. So you take the stress off of you and you put the stress on everyone else.
Sure.
And you don't have to worry about what are you going to say. Because if you just ask questions, you don't have to talk.
Yeah. Is it? And that's the magic wand I tell everybody when I train. Your magic wand is questions. Because, and when we go to these networking events or whatever the venue is that you feel nervous, maybe a meeting where you're meeting a new client and all of that apprehension, am I going to articulate what I want? Am I going to ask the right questions? Right. We're going to talk about preparation in a moment. But that whole angst that we feel, as soon as you ask a question, the other person starts talking, you can breathe and think about, wow, that's such an interesting point they made. Hey, I can help with that. Or, oh my goodness, I had the same exact thing happen to me. Sorry, we start connecting with the people. But your magic wand is are truly those open-ended questions. Now, let's talk about prep work, right? Before you go into any event, any meeting, whatever it might be, what prep should you do? Whether it's a party, a conference, I don't care what the venue is. What are some of the things you recommend?
Okay. So I always believe, you know, in going to any event and anything, it could be on a football field, whatever it is. I always want to leverage my time, right? So I never just go somewhere and just kind of be, unless I'm, you know, with the girlfriends or whatever, and that's what that's for, relaxation. But I go with a goal or a plan in mind so I could really leverage my time. That's what it's about. So say simply a networking event. Okay. And it could be an event, but that you're going to network at or build relationships at. So I say to myself, and again, it's that mindset of giving first.
Always.
I say to myself, okay, depending on the size of the event, how long I'm going to be there, I'll say, okay, tonight I want to try to help 3 people, or tonight I want to try to help 5 people. And then I say to myself, okay, and hopefully I will be able to get their business cards, so I can further help them. And that's what I say. And then I say to myself, okay, Casey, you're only, you know, you have these goals and, you know, you can compete with yourself. Oh, I got one, I got two, I got, you know, I'm helping this, blah, blah, blah. But when it really comes down to it, your major goal is just to be curious. And it's simple. If you just bring that with you into the event, the whole event and all these people just open up to you. So that's kind of like the prep. So I put some goals in place and I kind of put my mindset in just be curious.
And that's such an easy way to go into an event. It's funny, my value statement, well, one of my values, right? We have different value statements depending on who we're meeting, what the venue is, all of those things. And as you grow your skill, your value statement should evolve and change. But my value statement when I go to these networking events is exactly what you say. I go in curious. So as I'm meeting people, you know, ooh, what do you do? And I always say, I'm always looking for really interesting people to have on my show, Enlightenment of Change. Mm-hmm. So what change do you work with, or what change in your personal life have you kind of managed through, and how do you do that? What was the success for you? And when you come that you're interested in them, they look at you like, oh my God, no one has ever taken an interest like this, or no one has ever asked me or been curious at a networking event about what changes are going on in my life, my business, whatever it might be. So when you go in curious and asking from that, how can I help you? The response is overwhelming and positive, and you walk out feeling like you just made some new friends, which is such a great feeling, I think, right? That we're on this new journey with a new peep.
Yeah, and you know, you made a good point in the beginning. You were saying, okay, I'm going to the event with the goal of, you know, getting people to be on my podcast. It's really important to self-reflect and think, okay, what's going on in my life now that I can connect with those type of people? So if you're in a big networking event, and like right now, one of my initiatives is doing videos for nonprofit communities.
Love
so,
it.
Okay, so then I will go more of a focus in the nonprofit world.
Sure.
If nonprofit people there are philanthropists. So I'll go and stand over by them and ask them questions about them. So that's a good point to make. Yeah.
And it's funny, I just, again, taught this business development class, and one of the things that a simple thing that I do, you know, and again, you learn the hard way. How many mistakes have I made over the years networking? Yeah, I forgot business cards one time. Like, what? So we've all done that, right? But this one thing I said as a tip, and at the end, I always say, what one thing can you implement tomorrow, you know, in your business world to make a change, right? And do that for 20, 30 days, make it a habit. And then what's the next skill that you can implement? And the one thing a lot of them said is, I said, when you go to a networking event, try to get the list up front. So then when you can really look at who are the participants, who's going to be there, who can I help, and then really target the, not target like I'm going after you, but go in with the mindset of how can I help Connie, or how can I help Casey. And now you're focused with, so you have a goal, you have specific people you want to meet, so you're very efficient with the time at the networking event. And I said, and the other thing is, see who you know already and say, hey, do you know these five people I'm trying to get in touch with? I think I can help them with X, Y, and Z. People love to do those connections and introduction. So everybody looked at me like, oh, getting a list, what a great idea. Now, someone gave me that tip years ago, and now I use it all the time. It's efficiency, but it's also that I'm meeting the right people for what I'm trying to build, and inevitably, like minds meet, and all of a sudden you're flourishing in this wonderful new relationship. It's just, it's planning. Again, it's part of that planning. So, yeah, thank you for that. Now, you mentioned the cornerstones. I do want to talk, because I think the four cornerstones that you speak of are logical, and I think people can really bite into it. So talk about, what is your first cornerstone and why is it important?
Okay. You know, I know for me, it's like, I try to keep things really simple. You know, so that you can take them with you and they can just boom, 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 like think about them before you go somewhere or something like that.
Sure.
So the first cornerstone is basically, I say, focus on friends, right? And basically what that means is take what we were just saying, take all the pressure off of you and think about them, right? And the way that we do that is all the things that we just talked about, but also asking powerful questions. And powerful questions don't mean, you know, why are we existing on earth? Like, not those type of powerful questions. But powerful questions are the kind of questions that make people feel good about themselves, feel honored, feel respected, and that that allow them to elaborate on what's going on in their life.
Sure.
You know, Harvard University neuroscientists just did this huge study that people feel so good when they're able to talk about themselves. It actually hits the same neurons as food and money, when we receive food and money, which I thought that was so interesting. It just makes sense. Because, you know, you've been in a room where someone's like, blah, blah, you know, we all get like that, oh, da, 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 and you get like kind of a high. And that's what that's all about. So it's really important to ask questions. And most open-ended questions start with the word what, right? So of course, the easy one is, of course, what's your name? You know, that's no problem. But, and that's how you can start. But it's like, you know, what's important to you about this topic? What else? What else will you do? What's possible? Where exactly do you want to go with this? You know, they're all what questions that are really easy, that are already in our pockets to ask, because you want the person to expand as much as they can about what they're talking about. So it's really important to kind of like look at that person and just honor them and ask questions.
Yeah, and I think if they're a business owner, maybe asking, you know, what made you start your business? Like, how did you choose to do that? You know, and the why, what was your why? If they're working somewhere, right, in the leadership position, you know, what do you love about leading and working with people? You know, is it the coaching, the grooming, the mentoring, getting them promoted? And then, you know, maybe even ask, like, what do you find? Because I lead people, right? What do you find is the most challenging? And then how do you deal with that? So now we're talking that we're helping each other by this brainstorming kind of thing. So that's that interest. It doesn't have to be anything like you said, esoteric, where it's like, who are we and why are we here? You know, they're big questions, but you know, why did you choose that profession? You know, what led you that way? You know, was a family member and you were exposed to that as a child? Let them tell their story and then you could see where you connect. And I think the where, the what, you know, and the why is another big one that I think is really important. So yeah, be friendly. I like that. Kind of connect with the friendship. What's your set? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So no, I mean, what you can think about also, it's like people are the leading experts on themselves. So it's easy to answer these questions. You know, it puts all of the focus on them, takes it off you, and all you have to do is listen.
You just made me really smile. So I was asked to be interviewed by a company. They were spotlighting businesses, right? So they said, Con, we really want to spotlight you. I'm like, oh, I'm honored. Thank you. So we go in, and on the way up, we're videotaping it, right, for their website. So on the way up, I called my husband and he said, what's the matter? And I go, I'm really nervous. And he goes, you are? And I said, no, I talk for a living. I said, yeah, I am. And he said, well, what are they going to ask you? I go, about me and the business. And he goes, but you know the answers. I go, I know I do. I go, but what if I go, and he's like, are you out of your mind? It's like, are you kidding me? So it was funny when we, like, you can't edit something. So when we walked in and we sat down and they were like, what's going on? Because they know me, right? What's with you? I said, I'm nervous. They're like, you're nervous? I said, what if I don't answer it correctly? They're like, it's you and your business, like you knucklehead. So we're afraid. We're just so afraid, I think, sometimes that we're going to say the wrong thing. But if we're asking people about them, they know their story, right? They know their stuff. Very funny. Very funny.
Absolutely.
So what is the second? And, oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and you know, the opposite of that, I'll just share a quick story with you. I was at a dinner party. And I had, and all night we sat next to the same people, and I had two people, one on this side, one on that side. And the woman on this side, the whole entire night, asked me one question, just one. One. I know everything about her, but she asked me just one question. The woman on my other side asked me, you know, a lot of questions. And I can't even remember this woman's name. I can't even remember what she looks like. Whereas this person, we became friends. Her kids babysit my kids, dog walk, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. And we built a relationship that connected with other business opportunities.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, people that I think Zig Ziglar said, the more interested you are in people, the more interested they are in you.
Absolutely.
And so that's what goes with that.
Yeah.
Also.
It's never about us, right? It's always about the other person that we're connecting with. And I think that's really an important, people feel valued when you take an interest. So it's really, it's kindness and it's lovely to do, yet we're afraid to do it. It's silly because of, you're right, all that trash talk that we have. Mm-hmm. I call it the negative record player in our heads, right?
Right. So, and you know, by doing this also, that makes you, that makes it, it's a differentiator for you in your business because a lot of people aren't doing it. So that in itself is just that in itself, relationship building skills is just will get you so much farther.
And it's important because we're all so self-absorbed. So when you stop making it about you and making about the other person, it's not the norm. So you definitely stand out in whatever that venue is. What's your second cornerstone case?
Level up your listening. And speaking of listening, can you hear that little doggy barking?
Barely.
Okay, good. Okay, because I was gonna move the whole video over that way, but if we're okay, you
it's
just
all
let
good.
Me know.
Yep, it's all good.
New puppy. So, okay. Level up your listening. There's three levels of listening, okay? The first level, which I call the hijacker. You ever been in a conversation where you start to tell a story, someone asks you a question, you start to tell the story, and that person goes, oh yeah, I did that too. And we went here when we went there, blah, 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 blah. And they just hijack all of your energy and the whole story onto them.
It's all about them.
Yeah. That's level one listening. When you're only listening, do you think about what you're going to say next or how you can contribute to the conversation? That's the kind of listening we kind of want to stay away from. Level two listening is when you are listening, asking powerful questions, what questions, and you are listening so well, your agenda is no longer there. You're listening so well, so you could ask the next what question that goes even deeper to what that answer was.
Right.
And that's the kind of, that we were talking about before, that makes people feel really good inside. And you learn so much. And it's amazing, which I'll talk about in the fourth cornerstone, what's amazing, if you're listening really well, like me, I do it so much because it's just part of my nature, is I'm listening, I'm always listening, and I'm thinking to myself, which goes a little bit into level one, but it's really about helping that person. Who can I connect this person with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm always doing that. Or how can I help this person?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking at, the more you listen, the more answers you get. It's right there in front of you. So that's the, and so the third level of listening, it's a little tough. It's called environmental listening. Right. So if you're in a group, say you're in a group of five people and you're talking and someone says something that's, say someone just lost someone in their life or something comes up and it comes up all different ways in business talk also. It's about like feeling the energy in a sense and like knowing what to say next. Right. It's like if you're listening and you can feel all of the, you know, it just dropped. This is like serious stuff. And if you can, attach yourself to that and realize, okay, now I'm going to be quiet, or now I just say sorry for your loss or something like that. Really feeling what that person's going through and the energy in the room. That's kind of tough, but after you keep doing it, you can do it.
Yeah, and the reality is we feel each other's energy. You know, we teach our kids about the bubble, right? Don't invade someone's bubble, right? Mm-hmm. Be mindful of that. Invade your space is another way of saying it. So we all have this bubble, this energy field around us. So inevitably, when we sit face to face or we sit next to someone, your energy fields kind of overlap. So if when you start to pay attention to that, you feel their energies. The danger of that, and you probably have seen this too, is when you're next to someone who's just stuck in their own crap, they have this very negative energy. Mm-hmm. If you allow it and you're not mindful about your energy, all of a sudden you feel depleted. And I loved your example about, someone just died in the family or whatever. And you have to pause and feel that sadness for them and show compassion and empathy of, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Hug whatever we appropriate, right? So that I'm not saying is a downer, that's life, right? Death or whatever bad things happen. But people, and you know, my listeners in UK, I know you understand this. when you have those people who just are so negative, you have to put a reinforcement around your bubble. Absolutely. To not let them become energy vampires and suck the life out of you, because yeah. then whatever your agenda is or your goal is for that event, you're so depleted. You think, I need to go home and rest now. So you're mm-hmm. not able to execute the expectations you set for yourself. So we have to be careful, but energies absolutely intertwine. And I love that you're bringing this level of listening through energy, because we all feel it. You just have to be mm-hmm. mindful of it. So I challenge and aware of it. So Case, I challenge all my listeners, you know, just pay attention to how do you feel when you're around certain people, even after they walk away. What's that feeling that's left behind? That's that active listening through energy that we're talking about. So even if you can't do it when you're speaking to someone because it's too much to think about, after they walk away from you, what's that feeling that's left that you're settled with? And that will help with that active listening at that energetic level. So I love that. That's just such a great piece of the cornerstone as we level up, right? Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Yeah. Third cornerstone. What should we
do? Acknowledgement. And this one, to me, is quite magical. We grow up in a society where it's mostly, especially, like, and I see because I've got young kids, how they're negative toward each other. They make fun of each other. And we do that. It keeps going as we get older. So we're not spending time, or we're not taught to acknowledge each other and just give. And there's two different ways to acknowledge, right? There's acknowledging, which I'll talk about in detail, but then there's compliments also. They're a little different. But it's another differentiator where people don't do it. So if you're doing that for your business, life, whatever, it makes you different and it makes people feel cherished and honored, mm-hmm. right? So what I love about acknowledgement, if someone is saying something like, I was just able to get the report done in time and I had to take the kids to practice. I can't believe I did it. And blah, 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 and they start. I love slowing people down because they are so gosh darn busy. They don't do it for themselves and give them their own selves a pat on the back. I'll slow them down and say, that was awesome. I can't believe you got all that done. That's it. That's all you have to say. And it makes them stop, think positively and say yes. And then they can go on. So it's a way of slowing us down and taking time for acknowledgement, because we don't celebrate our wins half as much as we should. So it's great for you. It's great for the person. I have got to share with you what I think it's 3 years ago now, what my New Year's resolution was. And it has to do with acknowledgement. So this 3 years ago, I made a resolution that any time that I see anything positive or think anything positive about a person, I have to tell them anything. So that's where the kind of the compliment comes in, because if I see someone, I work in Bellworks, right? And it's pretty big. And if I see someone across, I'm like, wow, he looks really good. I have to go over to that person and say, you know, I just wanted to tell you, please don't think I'm crazy, but you look great today. And that's more of a compliment, right? But that's still acknowledging their presence, right? An acknowledgement is when you're talking to someone and you're really listening to what's important to them, what they're talking about, business, whatever it is, and then acknowledging deeper into the inside of their psyche and what they're doing.
Yeah, that you heard them and you understand. Exactly. It's funny, you know, we're networking, meeting people, and I said value statements change. So And I'm sure you do this as well. You have to think about what your value statement is, because if you don't see the value in you, how will you ever articulate it to the people that you're connecting with in your life, whether it's personal or professional? Mm-hmm. So I know when I do business development and those types of classes, we do a value statement about themselves and what's the value statement about their organization, because we are the face of the organization. But what value does the organization potentially bring to the relationship as well? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's so funny when I do that exercise, Case, people, you see them just stop and I walk over and I go, what's going on? There's nothing special about me. And I have to tell you, when people say that, my heart breaks.
Yeah.
And I think, what? I said, I hardly know you, and I already know this, or that you're so gracious with, you help someone else, with whatever it was that you, we were doing another exercise, and, you know, you showed them something, you stopped, you realized, and they look at me and they go, oh, I didn't think of that. We're really good at putting ourselves down. We're not mm-hmm. really good at seeing our own value. So when you acknowledge someone like that, right, all of a mm-hmm. sudden they think, oh, I guess I do that. We are so taught, don't brag about yourself, then you're braggadocious, you're arrogant, right? That whole arrogance thing. Yet when you articulate how you could potentially help someone so they get to know you, there's a difference. You're not bragging, because you're not bragging, you're like, look at me, look at me. You're really saying, I really want to help you, and I'm really good at this. I think I could help you with that. So you're coming from a place of love and help, not, hey, look at me, I'm really cool. And I think people, what you just said, by acknowledging others, I think it's important, because we don't acknowledge the value, or the value we bring, or, and the other thing I think, and I know you probably seen this and seen this with your clients, we become good at something, so we think, well, everybody could do that. And often, yesterday I had someone, they wrote their value statement, and it was so well written and beautiful, and I know the gentleman, and it was the essence of him. And I paused and I said, Freddie is his name. I said, Freddie, that was really good. I said, do you write like as a hobby? And he said, no, because I enjoy it though. And I said, wow, for someone who I could speak better than I write, that was really, really spot on. The whole class stopped and said, that was so good. So again, he looked at us like, can't everybody do that? And I was like, no, everybody can't do that. So he didn't even realize that was perhaps an innate skill, or a skill that he's honed and developed. So that acknowledgement, I think, is critical, because we beat ourselves up. I agree. We are a negative human race. It's kind of sad, right? It's sad. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, fourth and last, what's the fourth cornerstone?
Providing value. If you've done the first three cornerstones, you already have a book of ideas on how to provide value. Now, providing value to this person is basically how you continue the relationship. So say you start this whole idea, these cornerstones, at a networking event, right? So now it's the next day. How can you provide value to that person? And providing value is a huge, I don't want to say scale, but there's so many different ways to do it. Sometimes we don't even realize. Like, a simple way is just contacting the person via email or call, whatever, the next day and say, hey, you're such a great person, giving some kind of acknowledgement. It was great to meet you. I hope we, you know, continue our relationship. Boom. That's it, because that makes that person feel cherished. Yay. You're already starting the relationship. Now, if you're in a relationship with someone that you believe that you will need something from someday, right? Or not someday, but like maybe it's a company that you love and you might want to get a job there, or, you know, just something like that. I always say, okay, give, then ask. Give, and then ask.
Agreed.
So, you know, and do it strategically, right? So I call it my pipeline, my people pipeline. And so it's an Excel sheet, and I just have, you know, when I last talk to the people, I mean, I even have my family in there, you know, just so I can see dates. You know, when's the last time I gave? Okay, if I had to ask, I could ask. That doesn't mean I have to. I keep giving.
Sure.
And other examples are giving are like, say, Connie, you and I talk, and I find that you like tennis, right? So maybe 2 weeks down the line, I send you an article that I read about tennis. Say, hey, I was just thinking about you. Thought you might like this article, or thought you might like this video. Or, hey, you had said that your daughter was having trouble with bullying. Hey, here's an article on that. Or this is a situation that happened here. Anything that you feel that could be important to this person, give it to them, right? It could be a call. It could be an invite. If you felt, we're talking about the energy, like this person was feeling alone or sad, invite them to coffee with some other people who can bring up their energy. You know, so there's all different ways. And this is really how the relationship will blossom and grow. And what you were saying in the beginning was, you know, people don't like to ask for help. I, no problem asking for help. I do not have any kind of guilty conscience there, because I try to give because I just love it. It is very
part of you.
And it's great. And it's for me too, because you feel so good when you give, you know, like, let's be honest about it. But I try to give so much that I never feel bad. Hey, can you help me out here? Never. I don't feel bad about it, because I've been doing so much that they're glad. And that's called the law of reciprocity. Right. So that they're happy to help, like we were saying in the beginning. So if you're always providing value, it's easy to ask for help.
And I think if we come from that place of service, and right. Here's the other thing, Case, and you and I talked about this when we were at breakfast. It's okay to be of service. And then at some point down the road, if you can help someone out to get paid for that, I think we feel guilty that we're getting paid. And I would never, ever use a friendship for my own personal gain. That's not what we're talking about. But if you can help someone and they need something that you are good at that they are not good at, they should be willing to pay, and you should feel good about accepting it. And we're almost out of time, but I just have to share a real quick story. So my book, I had an editor who was referred to me. See, again, this connection. Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to her, and she spent some time on the phone, and she's like, sure, I can do that. And then as we were chatting, right, because I'm sales, that's my world. I think, how can I help you sell more? How can I help you increase your revenue, mm-hmm. your own personal financial position? And I said to her, what else do you do? And because she sent me a proposal, and I said, do you do this? Do you do this? She's like, I said, okay, I'm going to yell at you now. She's like, what did I do? I said, why didn't you add that to the last page of the proposal? Hey, Con, this is what we discussed. Here are the other things that I've helped out other clients like you. If you need these services, I am happy to help, and we could discuss further. And I said, you didn't let me know that, and I need that. So she's like, oh, I didn't think of it. So I said, immediately when we hang up, I want you to redo the proposal. We're joking now. And I said, I said, I don't know all the things you do. I like you. We've connected. I trust you, right? You're going to help me get my book to market. What are the other things you might be able to help me with? And she's like, oh, I should add that as the last page. Yes, add it as the last page. If they're interested, they'll reach out to you. They already have the relationship. She giggled. She goes, oh, yeah, I'm not good at that. So it was such a great conversation, though.
Right.
And it was a simple little thing to add, hopefully, to increase revenue for her. But she's good at the editing and that technical part of it. She's not thinking, how can I sell you more? But I'm thinking, but I need more. Why didn't you tell me that? So
right.
People, when you tell people what you can do, all of a sudden they're like, oh, you got to help me with. So it's not even always asking. Sometimes when people know what you do and you're good at, they come to you and say, I'm at a loss. Can you help me with this? So I love our conversation today, and I love those four cornerstones. So listeners, I really hope you start thinking about what of the four cornerstones. You're probably good at some of them. And then some of them, and I bet the one that we all need to work on is the energetic listening, that third level of, I think it was the third cornerstone, right?
Yes.
That active listening, and it's like active listening on speed, right? That energetic vibe. I really think, look and see, where can you focus on and do one cornerstone at a time, and you'll see the four cornerstones will almost be put in place. Case, just that was beautiful. So simple that anyone should be able to implement this. So I truly thank you for that information. So guys, if you want more Casey, I always want more Casey, go to her website. I'm lucky I get to see her because she's local. Her website is www.venerationme. So it's generation with a V like Victor, venerationme.com. And if you have a question for her, email her at Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, at venerationme.com. Again, thank you so much. And she's a wonderful coach. If you are in angst or need help or are stuck, she's really good. And she could teach you how to implement those four cornerstones specific to your situation. So reach out and ask questions. Thanks, Case. I love sharing content that everybody could now go and boop, start working on immediately.
Yeah.
It's important. And then if they need help further, you know, you're another resource that the show provides. So I love doing that. So thank you so much for that.
And, you know, also, Connie, I don't only work with relationship building. I work with people going in transitions, career, getting a new job, everything. So.
Sure.
I'm here if they need me.
Yeah, and that's a big one. The market, you know, the job market is open now. Everybody doesn't know how to present their resume or how to interview effectively.
Yeah.
That's another big topic I think that's needed out there. So thank you for handling that. You guys, my partner and I, and I, my second business, Wisdom Decoded, we are still offering that free communication style assessment based on what we talked about today, having insight. Are you introverted or extroverted? For example, if you're more introverted networking, you really want to focus on those four cornerstones, maybe on a bigger picture to start to develop those skills. If you're extroverted, you might be really good at the service piece, but that energetic listening might be your glitch. So take that communication style assessment. It gives such wonderful insight to you and how you show up in the world or how people see you. And we give you a free report with it as well. So check that out. Again, reach out to me, Connie@WhitmanAssociates.com, if you have any questions after you take the test. Happy to help you out with that. Case, thanks again for being on and sharing just really valuable content. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Guys, I appreciate you checking in on us, and I hope you join us weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change is in your life, in your professional or personal life, you've got it, and there are resources out there, and I hope the show provides those resources to help you navigate those churning waters just a little bit easier. So thanks again for joining me. Thanks again, Case, for being on. You guys have been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week. Really, really start thinking about those four cornerstones and how you can create better results today, as quick as today. So thanks, everybody. Take care.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanASSOC.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.